have no idea what loss is.
You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it?
Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat.
Belly. I think they should be terrified.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Sky Atlantic television series. I'm your host Matthew, and this is your spoiler predictions episode following on the events of episode 5. So it's my predictions for episode 6 and episode 7, and also some other future stuff as well. Everything post episode 5, basically. So taking the bits that we haven't had yet, the bits that we have had, and the bits that are yet to come in the TV show up to episode 5. So, worth noting that, of course, again, if you are not a video game player of The Last of Us 2, or you've not watched the cutscenes or consumed the story in any way, everything here is on the table. Even for stuff that could come up in seasons 3 or 4 or whatever. So if you've not experienced that story, basically if you're a show-only person, you can go back to yesterday, listen to my spoiler-free review for episode 5, and then come back on Wednesday for the spoiler review for episode 5. Those are the two show-only friendly episodes. This is for people that have consumed the story, whether you've watched the cutscenes or had it spoiled for you, or whatever, or played the game, because here, yes, everything is on the table. Alright, so just did my second watch of the episode, episode 5, it's called Feel Her Love. I now think this episode is awesome. There was something, and I already explained it on my spoiler-free review, there was something about how many bits and pieces were in this episode that I was being distracted from my own enjoyment for the episode because there was so much going on. But this time, because now I knew what was going to come up in the episode and I knew what the structure was going to be, I was able to actually enjoy the content a bit more. And that's not the show's fault. That's not the show's fault at all. That's basically, I think I tried to focus on too many different things at once, and I tried to enjoy too many different aspects, and my brain just couldn't keep up with the episode. Totally my fault. Well, not really my fault, because I still enjoyed the episode. But that's what multiple watches are for, because then with multiple watches you can focus on different things and all that kind of stuff. Plenty of great stuff. I'm not here to really give my opinion in this particular podcast, because that's what yesterday was for, and that is also what Wednesday is for, where I'll get to consume the episode one more time and then give my full thoughts. That was difficult to say for some reason, on Wednesday. But yes, I like this episode a lot more, for the reasons I've already explained. It might have sounded weird the way I tried to explain that the first time, and it felt weird to experience that, so we're all in this together, I suppose, or something. Very, very good stuff in this episode. But let's not waste any time. Let's get into both discussions and predictions. Did I write down the thing? Okay, so the big thing I want to get to first is the Rat King tease, both on the podcast, the official podcast with Neil, Troy and Craig, and in the show. So, again, I felt this was an interesting kind of way to throw us off, because I had in my mind, and I think I talked about this in a previous predictions episode, okay, Nora's coming up, okay, there was the question of the spores, but once we knew the spores were going to be in the episode, we were pretty sure that was going to work out great, and it worked out excellently. The way all those plot bits pulled together, I think, works excellently. So that was awesome as well. But the way that they threw us off is, because I was thinking, okay, once we get to the Nora scene, and obviously watch it different in different times because there's different things to focus on. Like, don't get to the Nora scene the first time and try and listen to the Rat King sounds, because there's the actual scene to watch. But Dina hears something before that. So I think this is just before their encounter. It's before their conversation about realizing they love each other. And their conversation as to how they're going to approach the room, which has the stalkers in, but they don't know that at that point. They're walking through the hallway, and there's lots of bits of stuff that you can hear. I didn't specifically hear any roars or anything, because that's kind of what the Rat King does. But there are some kind of off... some odd and some off kind of background noises, and you could certainly take that, like, if you know that tease could be in this episode, you could certainly take it as that. Now, Craig on the podcast, I haven't actually finished the podcast yet. I'm going to listen to a bit more of it once I finish this podcast and put together some other bits and pieces. He really full-on teased in the podcast about, like, hey, we heard about B1, we heard about B2, didn't hear about B3 yet, wonder what that's about. He did that kind of nudge and wink. So look, man, if, because there's one thing teasing kind of, oh, Dina heard something, because that could be, it technically could be anything, but we know what it could be pointing towards. Of course, TV only people would have no idea, but for Craig himself, who is the first showrunner, I'm still not completely sure on the differences between Neil and Craig's roles on the, they're both listed as kind of executive producers, but whatever. We know that Craig is writing most of the episodes. For him to put his neck out on the line a bit, at least, and be like, yeah, B3, wonder, I'm not quoting him directly, but yeah, B3, no mention of that, wonder what's down there. We know as the gaming audience exactly what he's teasing. And I hope he hasn't pushed himself into a corner in terms of, because we don't know the conversations that have happened between him, the executives of HBO, people at Warner Brothers, and consulting the budget and the prosthetics team and all that kind of stuff. Because if you, because you've now completely full on teased this, both with the Dina hears something and with Craig putting himself on the line a bit more, being like, hey, wonder what's down there. And I thought that was a very, very cool tease on the podcast. But you've got to do it now. You've put the idea out there. Now, if he didn't mention that on the podcast, I would be a little bit more like, okay, I'm not sure if you're gonna do it. But for him to write that episode and to put in the line of Dina hears something and her reacting to it, I'm not quite sure why Ellie couldn't, but maybe Ellie's got the revenge focus thing going on possibly. But for him to say that, you've kind of got to do it now, otherwise you're setting yourself up and the audience for kind of disappointment, I think. So, I mean, I don't know, like, we like to consider HBO as sort of the top budget for TV stuff, right? And I mean, we know we've heard a few bits over the years about how Warner Brothers is weirdly struggling for money or whatever, right? So the note I've got here, a little bit of a what if scenario. Let's say we get no bloaters next season, because we had a big one in episode 5 of season 1. We had another bloater encounter in episode 2 of season 2. We've got more fleshed out stalkers this season and other things. You've got a bit of a choice to make, because we've had no shamblers. And of course, we get one Rat King in the story, because one Rat King is enough, I think. And I had quite clearly, I think, either on the one of the two previous, which I combined parts of them anyway, spoiler predictions, I did outline and say kind of, okay, I would trade not seeing a shambler in the show to guarantee that we see a Rat King, because I'm more... not more interested, I care more about seeing a Rat King than I do a Shambler. Don't get me wrong, it'd be awesome to see a Shambler as well. But these aren't things that you just put into a video game. There's prosthetic stuff, there's budgets, there's like, how do you make something like that look good and don't make it look kind of, you've got to pull it off well, haven't you? But now with Craig, because, okay, would he say that in, because he would know that video game people are picking up on that and being like, all right, we know exactly what you're talking about. You better have had a conversation with HBO / Warner Brothers and the budget team about next season. I hope that you've got that stamped and sealed and signed and booked in. Otherwise, you are setting yourself up for trouble. I don't mean threats. I mean kind of disappointing the audience. Yeah, that's... I don't know if that's made me more or less nervous as to whether we will see it. But because in this show you have a more gritty, grounded, realistic depiction of the world, because you're using, you know, somewhat real-looking locations, whether they're sets, CG, well, I don't really care, whatever they are, you've got real-looking locations with like, real human versions of these characters, played by humans on screen, if you know what I mean. How do you make, like, tonally and thematically that fit into the world? Now, me personally, even if it feels like, I mean, it won't feel like a jump the shark moment, even if it feels a bit out of place tonally, I would rather you put it in, and even if it feels a bit out of place in terms of the realism, I would rather you do that than just not put it in at all. And what I'm saying is, if you save money next season on not having a bloater, because, okay, we've had two of them already, and they've been fantastic, but there's other infected that need to share a bit of the limelight. And I also can't think of any parts in the second half of the game where you need a bloater. It made sense for the Jackson invasion. It made sense for episode 5 in season 1. That was the Sam Henry episode, for those of you that might not remember that, because that was 2 years ago. Do you have the budget to, and we've had more infected on screen this season as well, that will cost money, like the horde from episode 2, the more stalkers that we get in this episode, and then like the big horde from the subway scene, all of that stuff costs a lot of money. That's that, and like organizing that and actually doing it on screen and making it look good. But if you not cut down on the infected, but okay, don't worry about putting a bloater in season 3. Try to get one shambler in there. And if you can, get a Rat King in there. But even if you have to do no bloaters, no shamblers for season 3, take them both out so you can put the Rat King in. I mean, I don't know what the link is between like HBO's budget, Warner Brothers' budget, and what the sort of crossover of that is. Because HBO is not an independent thing like a Netflix, for example. Although Netflix gets, you know, budgets put in from other bits and pieces. So I don't know sort of like if Warner Brothers is like, hey, don't spend too much money on that thing or whatever else. But we know Warner Brothers has made some stupid decisions in the last couple of years. And I hope that hasn't had a knock-on effect for your bigger stuff. Because we already know things like, with there was supposed to be the big battle at the end of House of Dragon season 2, and they cut that down to 9 episodes, so the cliffhanger was, oh, the battle's coming up, see you next season. So there's already bits like that going on, so that does give me an overall concern about HBO shows. It gives me concerns about, like, okay, they're DC stuff, like what will that do to Superman, what will that do to Supergirl and all their other different departments, because that can kind of have that knock-on effect. Anyway, that's just a bit of budget talk there. But, man, can you imagine, like, trying to put the Rat King together prosthetically? I know it's far out. That's probably second half of season 3, if we're looking at it that way. Because that's Abby's. Yeah, it must be Abby's day 2. Because when you play as Ellie in the Nora scene, you can hear it in the background. And I swear it's, yeah, it must be Abby's day 2. I can't always remember the first half and the second half of the game at the same time, because there's just so much stuff over, like, you're talking about 22 hours worth of content, aren't you? So anyway, yeah, Craig, you've put yourself in a little bit of a corner there in terms of like, ooh, wonder what that could be down there in the area that we didn't go to yet, but stay tuned, nudge nudge, wink wink. I mean, I like it. I like the teasing of that. That's brilliant. But now you've got to kind of follow through with that. And yeah, so we shall see. Because you would imagine, okay, season two was like in the can probably a while ago, right? Certainly in terms of filming and writing and stuff. You'd imagine they've started talking about things for season three, because they have to, they're probably writing it now or soon, or at least planning those things. So yeah, I hope Craig Mazin, I hope you've been in a meeting where they confirmed to you where that they can do that, because that's a pretty big deal. So anyway, very, very cool nonetheless. All right, a little bit of a remix that I noticed as well, and I think this is, I don't remember if I got to, no, I haven't got to this part in the podcast yet, although he wouldn't really, I don't know, I don't think I got to that part in the podcast yet. Jesse's Did You Think I'd Let You Do This On Your Own was the flashlight pickup scene. So as we know from near to the end of day two, is it day two or is it day one? The end of Hillcrest. You go through all the Hillcrest madness, dogs start chasing you and all this sort of stuff, and you have a more on-the-run Naughty Dog-style set-piece sequence. You jump over that thing. Of course, that was where the fake Joel was in the trailer and all that sort of thing, and Jesse goes, you know, think I'll let you do this on your own. That's where Jesse pops up into the story, and you go with him through that, and you take him... yeah, to the theatre, pretty sure. So, yeah. That is... is that before? See, now I'm trying to have to remember the game version, because you've changed it for the TV version. So, obviously, in the TV version, you interestingly end up with Jesse, Dina, and Ellie in the woods, whereas in the show, it was just Ellie in the woods with the Seraphites encounter. But, yeah, she hadn't beaten Nora up yet, had she? And she's obviously there on her own. I kept thinking throughout the episode of, like, okay, even in bits of the trailer where we've seen her chase Nora through the hospital and the little tease of Nora in the red light room, as we could call it, Jesse and Dina clearly aren't there. So I did keep... and this was, again, why I didn't kind of get the enjoyment out of the episode in the first time. Because I was like... okay, how are you going to get... now you have got two characters to kind of temporarily get rid of. How are you going to do that? The only thing I remember is... so he meets you, end of Hillcrest. Think I'll let you do this on your own. Then they have the car set piece. Is it then that... so... he takes Jesse back to the theatre. Sorry, she takes Jesse back to the theatre. Meets up with Dina. They have that conversation... was it then that Jesse then stayed with... because I remember she comes back, Ellie, to the theatre on her own. Jesse and Dina... yeah, she must have left Jesse there. Because I remember they were having a conversation about the pregnancy and that. Ellie gets a bit pissed off. She walks away, right? And then... yeah, no, because I remember they give her the sort of good luck beer, and then Ellie sets out on her own, then you go to the hospital, then Nora, then you come back, because then she has the hand trembling by the theatre, and then she's doing the whole thing with the map, isn't she, of like, oh, Nora said she was, and she's shaking everything, and then that's where they all reunite again. Yes, remembered it correctly. Sorry, I didn't mean to kind of like full on recap the games. I was just trying to refresh my own memory there, because you've remixed it for the games. The thing is with this is, like, it doesn't completely matter how you remix everything, because as long as you get to the same end result, which is, you know, Ellie through the hospital on her own, no one tagging along with her for that bit, and sees Nora on her own and does all that business. So, yeah. But yeah, of course, in the game, and I remember I did watch, like, the Last of Us Part 2 trailers before Season 2 came out, and obviously knowing everything, there's some crafty editing. Like, they completely edit Dina out of certain bits of the trailer. In those trailers, I think they make you try to think that Dina's dead instead of Joel. Obviously, good kind of way to throw it off, which I thought was good. But yeah, because there's no... see, I was going to say there's no Hillcrest. I was looking at the area... where Dina and Ellie walk through in this episode, in episode 5, and Dina starts talking about her mum and her sister and how she was 8 and she shot this guy and all that sort of stuff. That looked a little bit Hillcrest-esque, because you then go through that. The only difference there is Dina's not too sick to stay behind, and then they have the debate about, like, whether we should keep going or staying, and then they press on. So you've got that all kind of going on. But it looked a little bit like Hillcrest, I think. I also realised as well, and I don't know why this took me so long to realise this, because there's a lot of gameplay bits that they've cut out, which makes sense for a TV show. I'm noticing that where you have, let's say, Ellie going through Hillcrest on her own, and it's pew-pew, shoot-shoot, bang-bang, you go through all that, you meet Jesse, and that's the next plot point, they seem to be only using the gameplay and the story sections that actually have narrative purposes. Because even though there's a narrative purpose at the end of Hillcrest, which is meeting up with Jesse, talking about what's going on, trying to get back, da-da-da-da-da, which you kind of do in this episode. When you get to sort of gameplay middle bits, because you could spend 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour going through Hillcrest on your own, shoot, shoot, bang, bang, all that kind of stuff. Not only do you not, I mean, you could put it in the TV show, but not only do you not need it, there's also no, there's no like dialogue, there's no conversation bits really. And what's interesting about that is, because Naughty Dog's very heavy on kind of companions and things like that. Like, they do it in Uncharted, they do it in here with Last of Us, they do it kind of with Crash Bandicoot and with Jak and Daxter. But because, for example, where you're going through the forest on your own and there's no one talking to Ellie, of course you do have the, it's a Seraphite's encounter, and you see sort of more firsthand what they're doing to these people. But because you then craftily found a way to get Jesse and Dina in there as well, they all discover that together, and that serves a bigger kind of narrative purpose. Rather than watching a 10-minute scene in an episode of the parts where Ellie's on her own, which, where will you need to do that? I mean, again, you've got, like, how long's the hospital sequence when she runs through? Maybe a couple of minutes? That's all you really needed to show. For the narrative purposes of stuff. And sure, it would be cool to, I mean, we would put up with it as gamers, right? Seeing maybe 10-15 minute sequences of, like, lots of little gameplay nudges and things like that. But you can essentially shorten a 15 minute gameplay section into a 2 to 3 minute scene, and you save a lot of time, and that's where you can put in the new stuff for the episode and all that sort of thing. Anyway, so yeah, that's that bit with Jesse, but that was one that I picked up on straight away, of like, okay, that's the sort of Jesse, you could label that as, okay, what would you name that bit? You could label it as the sort of Jesse saves them, and even though they're very different contextually, because to be honest, if Jesse doesn't come along, I think both Dina and Ellie both end up dead, but of course, in the game, it's sort of, she's already gotten away from everybody. Jesse's there to kind of, like, help her with the next bit. Because even though you do have companions in Naughty Dog games, there are still parts where, like, you play as Nathan Drake, he's on his own. You play as Joel, he's on his own for a little bit. You play as Ellie, she's on her own for a little bit, etc., etc. Same thing kind of with Abby in certain situations. But usually, at least from what I remember with Naughty Dog companion stuff, is, when you're, at least for most of them I can remember, when you're on your own in Naughty Dog games, it's usually a case of you're trying to get back to someone, like get back to Sully in Uncharted or Elena or whoever, or that kind of thing. So yeah, that was that bit. Flashlight pickup scene, yeah, I talked about that. So there's a bit in Seattle Day 2 where, again, Ellie's on her own, and you enter this kind of office building, and I thought this was a clever way to kind of do this. Again, you're not going to have a 15-minute scene where Ellie's working her way through these stalkers in this building on her own, with no dialogue between anybody, no narrative. There's no narrative. There's a world-building bit there, because it's like, okay, here's what's in the world, which is these stalkers, and you have the character Ellie, but it serves, for a TV show, to do that serves no individual narrative purpose. And she's also not exchanging dialogue with anybody. So having that be moved to... Because I'm pretty sure that's the same bit. Where you go into the office and you're trying to get to... Yeah, the hospital, isn't it? Yeah, because that's literally just before you get to the Seraphites. Because you come out of the underground sewage bit or whatever it is. You come up from there and then you go into the woods, don't you? And then you see the Seraphites. And I know you could say, like, okay, but Ellie's talking to herself, kind of, and she's guiding herself through, but that doesn't work as much for a TV show, where a character's talking to themselves, I suppose. Anyway, yeah, I felt like that was supposed to be that remixed here, which, okay, you're not in an office bit per se, and you're not in the same building, and it just happens to be a building that Ellie ends up in the game. So that was that part covered. And that was one I had in my mind of, okay, when are they going to, how are they going to kind of show that? And you managed to, again, get the three of them. It's actually quite impressive if you think about it, because when you look at this day two, you look at makeshift Hillcrest, if you want to call it that. You look at the Seraphites bit, part of the hospital, with the bit that Ellie has to do on her own. You managed to get pretty much the three characters in most of those scenes, so that you could still have the characters discovering things with each other. And, that was quite interesting the way they did that. But yeah, that was the Stalkers bit covered in that episode, so that was cool to see. Then we get, the Woods Seraphite scene. I know I'm not really doing predictions here. I'm more kind of covering... Okay, rather than predicting these bits for the future, here they all kind of are now, so I'm just working my way through these. We will get onto some proper predictions here soon. Wood Seraphite scene was done incredibly well. I love seeing all the whistles and stuff again. So that was great. Got a little bit of a remix there. Again, you can kind of makeshift it to work, because you didn't make Dina as sick. Of like, I'm just too ill to kind of come out. You're going to have to do this on your own. Which, again, Ellie on her own. No kind of narrative dialogue and bits to exchange with other people. You then have her get shot in the leg. So it's like, okay, now you have to park that character for a little bit. And she goes back. I'm assuming they went back to the theatre. Her with Jesse. And then that can then allow Ellie to do what she needs to do on her own. They figured it out pretty well, but, it's obviously the gameplay remix there of you get shot in the shoulder, you hear some whistles, you get shot in the shoulder, and then you have your Seraphites encounter. But you could still do that in the same way and still have the Seraphites bit where Ellie is running away on her own, but you just get the arrow into Dina's, was it knee, leg, whatever, to make her need to be parked at some point, because now you kind of have the opportunity to park her there for the theater encounter, and then have when Ellie can get back, you can do that bit the same way again of I assume either off screen or a recap will be done on screen of talking about Dina's pregnancy, because Jesse's gonna notice, like, if she throws up and that kind of thing. So we'll see what conversations they've had when Ellie gets back to the theatre, I suppose. The only small little question is, because in the game, you get back, you do the trembling hands pointing at map, blah, 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 or you go through all that bit. You then get this very human, intimate scene, where Ellie's clearly traumatised of, like, okay, you can make the assumption of what she did to Nora, but you don't know, but you also don't have to know, because you can just read it on Ellie's face. And she's, like, traumatized from what she's had to do to get the information out. And Dina sits here and very intimately cleans her back. Now, what's interesting from a pacing standpoint and from the end of the episode standpoint is this episode's actually only 42 minutes. Which is quite short for a HBO show. Usually you are talking 50 minutes to an hour. And we actually cut the episode. Like, we could still see that part because we haven't seen Ellie go back to the theatre yet. So you haven't seen that kind of moment. I don't think they'll cut it. I think that you've got time in episode 7. I don't think you've got time in episode 6 to show that, but I think you've got time in episode 7 to show that. Because what you could possibly do now, and you didn't have to do it this way, is now that you've got the little end of the episode bit with Joel being back, and obviously we're going to do the flashback stuff next episode, and the birthday scene, which we'll talk about in a minute. If you then, because you could either end episode 6 and have Ellie arrive at the theatre, so you now know that that scene hasn't been done off screen, and you'd find some traumatizing way to cut that back into the episode. Because it's interesting the way they play this one, which is you get the traumatic stuff with beating Nora up, beating Nora to death slash her dying from spores. And then, like, cut back to happy fun times with Joel and, hey, kiddo, what's going on? And The Last of Us is very, very good at doing that. Because it's very good at doing it in both ways, right? Of, like, hey, here's a really nasty bit. Oh, cool, remember this nice time? And then, hey, yeah, remember this nice time? Goodbye, rip that away from you. Here's a back to the traumatic sort of parts. The Last of Us is very, very, very good at doing that in both ways. So I feel like we could have one does one and one does the other, where you have, okay, Ellie going full kind of beast mode, beating Nora up with a pipe, and then, oh yeah, remember Joel and Ellie? They used to be happy together. Hey, we're back. Everything's fine. And then you could have next episode be, of course, all the beautiful, emotional, heartwarming stuff of the birthday episode. And then you could cut back, maybe, either in the theatre or two, because you could have like a cool rain thing where it's raining and she gets back and you'd see like a look on Ellie's face and you'd go, oh yeah, she just did that. Oh yeah, that bit. And then you could end the episode with, hey, yeah, we just had a really nice time with Joel and Ellie. Cool, let's get back to remembering what we were doing. Oh yeah, cool, remember this, that was all lovely, Joel and Ellie, birthdays, etc, etc, and then get back to, oh yeah, remember that bit where Ellie beat up Nora really badly? Yeah, we're back to that bit, and then go back into that sort of thing. So I feel like you could get away with doing the sort of bad to nice, and then nice back to bad, although, and we'll get onto my predictions in a minute, I mean, that's my next note, predictions for the birthday episode. I feel like we're going to end on, okay, where does it make sense for next episode to end? I think it makes sense to end on, and you swore and they fall out with each other. Because the other thing you could do, I think we'll start next episode with, okay, here's how you could lay the episode out. And I know I already did quite a lot of coverage on this with the previous very long podcast. So I'm not going to reiterate all those points. I'm just going to talk about the general, the starts and the ends of the episode. Because I've already talked about what bits you will or won't include or whatever you could do. I think you could easily pick up from the tone of the end of this episode of, like, hey, happy fun, Joel. Hey, kiddo, how's it going? Kind of thing. You do that, you kick into the birthday episode. You're going to cut maybe between a few different flashback parts. And then if you then, because where could you could go, okay, here's how you could do that. You have the beautiful, beautiful moment, right, of, and I don't know this is how it's going to go, this is point of predictions. You could go from the 5-4-3-2-1, the space shuttle bit, all that love, one of the most beautiful moments in the game, right, and we pretty much know we're going to get that. Heck, they do count from, 5-4-3-2-1 in the actual teaser for next week's episode. You do that, you come out of that, you then go back into, because if you remember, you do the boost companion thing, she goes into the building on her own, Joel has to find a different way into the building because it's like blocked completely from the other side or whatever. You then get the symbolism of, I can't remember which animals it is, but there's, I think it's like a deer being hunted by something, and there's some symbolism there for Joel, or for, being hunted and whatever else, get attacked by the boar. That doesn't mean a boar has to be in the episode, but that kind of startles Ellie. So that's sort of, you slowly start taking yourself out from beautiful moment in the shuttle to bad stuff. Like, you kind of edge into it in the way of, hey, yeah, I'll boost you up, see you on the other side. And you slowly work your way through this, like, building where a few people have died and things like that. And then there's the statue thing, then there's the boar attack, and that slowly eases you into, back into nervous, you know, Last of Us horror territory, if you will. Then, if you all remember, we see, I think there was a Firefly logo on the wall, and it's like, I think it just says Liars or something, and obviously there's the looming part there of, because I don't think the Seattle bit had happened yet, of her going back to the hospital, but I'll get onto that in a second. Because there was always the kind of thing of, you know, swear if it's true, I swear, okay. And of course, there's a lot to take from the okay. And the okay is still sort of sitting there. And her looking at this Firefly thing with the liar, and Joel's kind of doing this thing in that moment of like, hey, come on, let's kind of get out of here. We're not going to really talk about this here. Let's kind of get out of here. I wonder if you do that, you then cut, because you could do it I'm pretty sure that's chronologically how you do it. You then could go from that to, and again, I don't know if they'll show Ellie in the hospital discovering stuff, because there's the tape that she picks up, which is the important part, then the documents and all that, and she eventually puts everything together. Okay, then you put that into the whole use war scene. They get pissed at each other and all that kind of stuff. So you've then fully gone from happy fun times, beautiful moment in the shuttle. You then go through all those motions of, and I don't know if you will include the sort of bit where they go back outside and the Fireflies liar bit on the wall. I don't know if they'll include that specific bit, but I think you can then use that as a transition maybe to the use war scene. Then what you could do, because you're then in dark, nasty Last of Us mode, you maybe then cut to a final scene of the episode when she arrives back at the theatre after Nora. And then I think you end the episode there maybe, and then maybe the start of episode 7. You could either end the episode there, or it depends on how much time you've got. You do the end of the episode bit where it's, you know, pointing at map, etc., etc. And maybe you end the episode on Dina cleaning Ellie's back, and then you kick into day 3. But I think that you can fit the cleaning back scene into day 3. See, the challenge they've got, and they've done it very, very well so far, because of the structure of this game, and because of the fact that you can basically sit and play it, let's say you got 2 days off work or something, or 2 days off of whatever you're doing, you could finish this game in 2 days, or maybe like 2.5 days, like a weekend and a bit, because you can consume this story in a much, much shorter amount of time. And not only are we going from split, you know, season 2, season 3, maybe season 4, plus the fact that you're going week to week, and you've got to pick a starting and stopping point for every single bit of this game, which makes it a huge challenge. I don't think some people appreciate kind of, because you've got a more difficult task with adapting this than you've got with season 1, because season 1 was more kind of A to B, checkpoint characters, deliver the girl, right? Not to make it sound too simple, but the structure there is so much more simple, and you can more easily do the checkpoint bits in each episode, which is basically what season 1 did. Whereas with season 2, it's like, because you can consume this game in a shorter space of time and in a more consistent space, because you can sit there and play, you know, 5-6 hours or whatever in a chunk and consume, what's that, probably 5-7 episodes worth of story in one go, as opposed to an hour a week, bit by bit, pick a starting point, pick a cliffhanger, find out where everything fits into it. It's much more difficult to do, but I think they've done a very, very good job so far. Anyway, that being said, I wonder if, yeah, it depends where you put the back cleaning scene, or if it doesn't have to be her back, but obviously that's the way you intimately do that scene. You then kick into day 3, where you then search for Abby, Aquarium, Mel, Owen, and then the theatre, and we'll see where exactly they finish up. Yeah, so again, things like the aquarium, because you go through that, I can't remember what type of building it is. Is it like a mall or something? Because there's the arcade. I think they're going to skip the arcade personally. Unless you include a shambler there. Or is it a bloater? No, I think it was a shambler in the arcade. Unless they surprise us and put a shambler there, I'm not betting on that, because again, you've got Rat King coming up. So we'll see. They could include it, I don't know. But again, you look at narrative dialogue purpose. Is there any narrative dialogue purpose to doing the arcade? It's just a location you go through on your search for Abby in day 3. Same as the mall thing. Okay, you kill a lot of wolves in there and everything, but again, Ellie's on her own. I think that the bit that we, because again, I talked in the, I think the spoiler preview about the boat stuff. And like when you fall off of your boat and then you desperately are swimming through, and the, because that's another thing I like in part 2. Slowly and surely, as you go through kind of searching for Abby, it starts to feel a bit more useless and a bit more pathetic. Especially by the time we get to the farm, which is way, way, way out. Let's not even think about that right now. But like, I remember on a few of the different playthroughs when I was like doing the swimming through water, getting to the aquarium, and it started to feel like kind of, okay, Abby isn't coming back for you. Is this really worth it? Which is Tommy's approach in the show, which works quite well. We'll talk about Tommy in a second. So I think with the mall and with the, because is there anything for the story that's important that happens in the mall? I don't think so, other than the boat. And sure, if you skip a little bit to, oh, suddenly she's at the aquarium. Sure, picky people are going to go, hey, how the hell did she get herself there? But you can just do whatever with that. There were people kind of moaning about, like, where they entered Seattle. I don't care. And granted, I don't live there, so I don't have the geography of that and whatever else. But they arrived in Seattle and it looked really great. What more do you kind of want? I'm not going to get into it here, but I've seen some unbelievable, ridiculous nitpicking. That's just like, those sorts of people that do it, you're never going to enjoy this show. If you nitpick some of the stuff that I've seen get nitpicked, you're just never going to enjoy this show. Because rather than actually enjoying the scenes that you're getting, you're constantly looking at it and going like, but why didn't we get this? Why didn't we get this? Why didn't we get this? And it's like, try and calm down a little bit. Like, anyway, so, yeah. But anyway, the only thing I'm not completely sure of is the theatre entrance and back cleaning part. Because you could quite easily end episode 6 with just a shot or a little scene of Ellie returning to the theatre, so that just so that you know she's parked there for next episode, and then you could quite easily start episode 7 and have her go in the theatre and then do all of that bit, so you could still very easily kind of do that. So, because I can't remember a lot else that happens in, because she's on her own completely for day 3. She is with Jesse, isn't she? There's the building they go into for a bit. There's a few infected in there. I'm trying to remember the narrative stuff that happened. And what I mean by narrative stuff is like, okay, so for day 2, you get hospital, you get Seraphite, you get Nora. The bits I can remember for day 3, because that's what you'll get in episode 7, is day 3. Jesse talks a lot to Dina, sorry, to Ellie about the pregnancy stuff. And then there's, yeah, the theatre confrontation. That's, unless I'm forgetting anything. Yeah, there's a lot of, and we've already seen a shot in the trailer of them in that sort of broken up building. I wonder how that will all look. So, yeah. Wonder if they'll include the high five moment as well. That would be cool. There's two, just to kind of link for a moment, because I just remembered this. Again, there's just so much stuff to remember. I can't remember it all at once. You get a very interesting, funny little conversation between Joel and Ellie and Dina and... Sorry, Ellie and Jesse of Joel misreading the signs and thinking that Ellie was into Jesse, you know, like romantically in that. And Joel's like, hey, I've got a pretty good eye for this stuff. And Ellie's like, nope, not on this occasion. You've picked the wrong friend of the two that she's into, because obviously she's more into Dina. And I like in day three when, because Jesse starts talking about how much he cared about Joel and all that sort of thing. And like the purpose of him being on the journey with them and all that sort of thing, which might be a little bit different because of what's mentioned in this episode. I hope we get the little conversation of, hey, by the way, Joel thought at one point I was into you. And Jesse's like, because she says about like, not my type and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, oh, because I'm Asian, right? And she's like, yeah, that's why. I thought that was a really great bit. So I hope they include those two conversations in both episodes. All right, let's talk a little bit more about... So that's pretty much... I've already done in like both parts of episodes. So in last week's predictions episode and in the weeks before's predictions episode, there was a lot of stuff I talked about for episode 6. So I'm not going to go over all of the flashback bits and how I think that's going to be presented. All I was trying to do is... Okay, because we have a slice of it at the end of this episode, how that fits into the start of episode 6 and how that flows its way through to what we might see at the end of episode 6, which I just talked about. Let's talk about Tommy for episode 7. So, thankfully, Jesse mentions, because if he sort of needs to go to Seattle, because otherwise how does Manny get sniped in season 3? Now... Okay, there's actually two opportunities that you've got, because we don't quite know yet what season 3 looks like and how, because they bleed into each other effectively, the day 1, day 2, day 3, the post day 1, day 2, day 3, and pre day 1, day 2, day 3, and we haven't seen barely Abby at all this season, which obviously we're going to see a chunk of that next season, because she might be the leading character of season 3. Well, she probably will be. I don't know how much of Bella Ramsey's Ellie we'll even see in season 3. You got two opportunities, because people were freaking out about, like, oh, they're going to skip Tommy, he's not going to even be in Seattle. The interesting part is, because when we got to the end of episode 3, and Manny was acting a little bit differently, and people thought, like, oh, the baseball cap, he's going to take Jordan's death, which nobody really took that death. Which, because Jordan wasn't in the show. Although, Ellie does stab a guy at the TV station. You can take that as a remix there if you want. You've actually got two opportunities to show Tommy in his day 1, day 2, day 3 adventures. And this is also... I've thought of a way you could also possibly use this to have a bit more Jesse screen time. Because Jesse's probably going to die in episode 7, isn't he? In the theatre confrontation. If that's indeed where we end the season, I'm thinking that we do. The only little premature thing I've got for episode 7 is, because there's some speculation that, what about, and I don't mind if they do this, again, as long as you end up fitting all the bits of the story that you need to fit in, you just might put them in different ways in different places, or in different episodes that we might think. Let's pause on the Tommy talk for a minute and talk about the speculation that's out there as to how episode 7 could end. So the speculation is, and this isn't my prediction, I'm just kind of borrowing it to talk about it for other predictions, is if Ellie gets to the aquarium, kills Owen and Mel, I'm pretty sure we're going to get that in episode 7. Because otherwise, yeah, I don't know what else you do include in episode 7, because that's a big part of day 3. Kills Owen and Mel. I already went over Mel's pregnancy and the importance of that. I'm not going to repeat everything I said, because I spent a long time in the big episode, the 2-hour, 20-minute one, talking about all of that. is if she does that, Tommy and Jesse come in, which could still definitely happen. Because when Jesse goes to leave Ellie and says, "I hope you make it," and then they separate, and then Jesse meets up with Tommy. You go off on your own to the aquarium. Then they meet back up later, and that does all that bit right. Is when Abby gets there, she sees obviously the two of them dead and Alice as well. Because we haven't seen Ellie kill any dogs yet, but what about if it's our main girl, poor old Alice, that we then have to throw the ball to later? that was such a sad way of doing that in the game, of like, hey, yeah, you know this, you know where you're controlling Abby now, you know this really nice dog that's trying to be nice to Lev and to Yara. Although Lev has gone at that point, hasn't he? This is the dog that you know that you brutally kill later. It's just canonically that hasn't happened yet because you're playing fetch with the dog. I love the sort of backhanded brutality of that almost. I was like, yeah, you've already killed this dog, by the way, but now you have to be nice to it, but as a different character. I such a good way to do that. I'm delaying the point that I was going to be talking about. Abby gets there. The three of our characters have already gone, and Abby notices, of course, Owen and Mel already dead, sees the thing for the theatre, and Abby's completely full of rage, as if you maybe cut there for the end of the season. Now, that gives me a little bit of caution, because there's then two different ways to do the theatre fight. And as I went over in that long podcast I did on the fact that when in the game, and Lever's not been cast for this season, so you, because when Abby gets there, it looks like she's there on her own, and she says, you know, you wasted it, and then it cuts to Abby's story. Then we do her rigmarole, you conclude that bit, and you go back to the theatre, and you finish the confrontation. Would it work? And this isn't something I want them to do, but something they could do. You end season 2 with episode 7. You end on Abby being, you know, bloodlusted or whatever the phrase is that you want to use. Of like, we came round, we killed Joel, we left all of you. But oh my god, now you've come through and you've killed my friends, let you live and you wasted it. But not that actual line. And you end season 2 on Abby being full of rage. Of course, it would be full of rage for Ellie. And Tommy and Jesse and Dina and everybody else, right? Could you then, if you then start season 3, and you've got two options. You either do the full theatre confrontation, which means that you would have to include Lev, because Lev has to be there to stop Abby killing Dina, which I'm going to guess you're going to have to do in the same way, and Jesse's going to be dead in that episode. And Lev would have been cast for the season, so you could get away with doing that. Of course, Yara won't be there, but Lev will be, and you won't know that story yet. The only reason that wouldn't really work is when this random person comes out of nowhere called Lev and tells Abby just to not, you know, slit Dina's throat. TV audiences might be a bit, they won't be confused on like, okay, Abby's here now, and you get the full theatre confrontation, because you could still do the, and you've wasted it, but then you follow through with the scene, and then you have the full theatre confrontation fight, and all of that happens. But could it work to do the full theatre, and this isn't what I want them to do, this is just what they could do. You do the full theatre confrontation season 3 episode 1. You do all of that and then you flip perspectives. But that would feel maybe a little bit out of place, because your audience would be like, who's this other person with Abby? Okay, you could guess that it's somebody that Abby's picked up along the way, but you wouldn't know his story at all. Whereas by the time you get there in season three, end of the bits that have happened, and at least for some of us, sympathise more with Abby because we've seen her story. And that would be the other difference. If you do all of that, we won't have the sympathising for Abby potential part. Either that. So either do it all that way, do a full theatre confrontation, and then you flip perspective of like, hey, here's what Abby's been up to, but at a different point. Or you start season 3, episode 1, Abby's full rage from the aquarium. You then follow her, because you could easily follow her and Lev. Or actually, you wouldn't even need to include that. You then have the... Yeah, you'd park there, Abby's full of rage in the aquarium, you'd park her there just for a moment, you could cut back to the theatre. I'm making this more complicated because I'm making it as they, like, this is what they could do, not what I want them to do, but they could get away with doing. Abby's parked in aquarium with Lev. You wouldn't still know who Lev is yet because you cannot do that before season 3, there's literally no time to do that, because that's what season 3 is supposed to be for, is for that part. You then cut back to season 3 episode 1 opens with them in the theater talking about, like, because there's the bit where Tommy's talking about, I'm gonna bring back something nice for Maria, I've got the gold, and he goes off and looks at it. You do that, then Jesse gets shot season 3 episode 1 instead, and then you do the you wasted it, and then you flip perspective, then you play Abby's full story out. I think it just is easier to do it the same way. And this is maybe because I'm just used to the way the game has done it and haven't considered for the show how it would work in terms of moving those bits around. But so yeah, it's possible season 2 ends with the rage Abby going to, I know where she is, I'm going to the theater, I'm at the aquarium. You finish season 2 there, you start season 3 with the first half of the theater confrontation, which is through the door, Jesse's shot, confrontation, blah blah blah, you wasted it, cut to black, kind of. Or that could be a cold open, actually. Then you play the intro, then you cut back to younger Abby. Very curious to see what they do with that, because Caitlin's a bit older than at least I think she is. Caitlin's a bit older than Bella, so you can't quite do that in the same way, although maybe you can get away with it, I don't know. Then you do that, and then you just play out season 3 the rest of the way. I've heard that as a possible rumour. And we won't know what... Me sitting here describing all that, we won't know what any of those options look like until we see them on screen. But we will find out, I guess, the week after next as to what the actual answer is. So there was some speculation as to, okay, if you don't end on the you wasted it, how could you conclude it before that, the season? And my answer is the aquarium. Again, we're just looking at different possibilities, different answers, different predictions. It's fun to do. Okay, so if you don't end season 7, if you don't end episode 7 on you wasted it, if that's even what she says, although she should say that, you could stop at the aquarium, and then, because that also gives the viewers a feeling of like, oh god, Abby's pissed again. we're back here being, you know, memories of Joel coming up. That could be effective maybe for a TV thing, is like, Abby kind of left all of you to it, you killed her friends, and now look, you've pissed her off again, now she's going to come back, and there's the looming threat of Abby again. You could play it that way. Or you, and this is only a slight remix, although no, again, you can't do the other option that I've discussed before, which is you wasted it, cut to black, open with young Abby. You can only take that so far because we haven't had a young Jerry cast yet. Hence the fact, also, we haven't had a scene, and this maybe is saving it for season 3, we haven't had a direct scene of Abby going in the operating room and seeing her dead dad on the floor, because, I mean, you can cast like a... Yeah, you'd have to credit that person in a certain way, unless you just have it as like Doctor Number One or something, but now we know who that is, and you haven't cast anybody as Jerry yet, so yeah. Either that, or you do, you wasted it, right? You cut to black for a moment, either before the credits or post-credit scene. Again, we don't really do post. We've done some cold opens, like they had a cold open in episode 5, right? With the it's in the air scene. You could do the, you wasted it. I've said that so many times on this podcast, haven't I? You cut to Abby, young Abby, in the, what was it, the forest or wherever it was that she was. She's calling out for her dad. That doesn't mean you have to show him on screen, does it? And you could maybe, could you have a young, what's his name, Spencer Lord, whatever his name is? Because he's, Owen's there in that scene, right? Granted, again, he looks younger, so I don't know how you're going to play that with those characters. But you could still simply have the cliffhanger for the half of the game. Cut to young Abby looking for her dad, and make it clear that it's a flashback scene. And that could give you a hint as to where season 3 is going to start. Because I just don't know how it works to kind of, I don't know how it works to do Park, Abby, end of season 2, start season 3, do the whole theatre confrontation. Because my sticking point there is Lev. Like, okay, who the hell is this person? Where the hell did she come from? We would know who he is. Sorry, did I say she? Didn't mean to say that. Like, where who is this person? Where did he come from? And also, why does he look like a Seraphite? That'd be the other thing as well, as to why you couldn't. The more I think about that opportunity of, okay, if you start season 3, episode 1, look, we won't get there for 2 years, and you do the whole theatre confrontation. Because then it would be like, okay, who is this guy? Why does he look like a Seraphite, and why is he with Abby? Unless you do that as a mystery. I don't know. The more I talk about the option, I don't like it. So we'll have to wait and see. Going back to Tommy for a second, because I just wanted to talk about the episode 7 thing there. Okay, so episode 7, let's rewind a little bit. Because of, again, if you're cutting, not cutting, trimming, sorry, trimming is the word I'm looking for. If you're trimming Ellie at the arcade and at the mall, which takes up a bit of time, and she's on her own for parts of those bits, Because Jesse, I'm just trying to think, because Jesse has said in this episode that, okay, Tommy has gone with him, but he's gone off on his own, which is a very, very good thing. Because he has to kill, he has to snipe Manny, right? That has to happen in the same way. Because all the deaths so far, apart from obviously Bill's, which was a bit different, I'm pretty sure all the deaths have been done in this, all of the game deaths anyway, have been done in the same way. So, because, like, Joel's was done, okay, it was slightly different, but it was done in the same part. Nora was done in the same part. Like those main video game deaths, you've done all those in the same part. I'm just wondering where you can fit the adventures of Tommy, because you have the opportunity to do that. You can either take an opportunity in season 3 where you cut out trim some of Abby's gameplay parts and intersplice that slightly with Tommy's Seattle day 1, day 2, day 3. Because Jesse doesn't even say how long he's been with Tommy for, or when they left necessarily. And also the bits that you included in Seattle Day 1, Day 2, Day 3 of, like, when they get to the TV station in the game And Ellie goes, this was not Tommy's work. Because Tommy's kind of leaving a trail behind him, isn't he? Like at the that one building that they go to with the interrogation scene, which they didn't have in the show. But you still got to have... Manny's probably not going to be... Well, he can't be dead until season three, can he? So you're probably going to do that then. Just wondering if you'll include any of Tommy's parts in episode 7 for Ellie's day 3, because again you can trim the mall and the arcade. Or if you show bits of, because you've actually got two different options. When he goes, I really hope you make it, and Ellie and Jesse split away, you could maybe follow both of them or follow one of them. I know you kind of have to go a little bit with Ellie in a way, because you need to see the kind of like following Ellie's mental state, which is important, which gets set up in episode 5 a bit more with her attitude towards Nora. I don't know. Some of that could be in episode 7, but I don't think you don't have to show the majority of that until season 3, I think. So anyway, all right, it's pretty much my predictions for, I guess, discussion parts, spoiler parts. I touched on a lot of different bits there, didn't I? That's all of my notes, anyway. It did take me an hour to get through that. I do have a couple of bits of feedback, I think, for the first time. And, of course, if you want to write in with any predictions for episode 6, because even though I won't be covering those till episode 6, I could still kind of, like, go over those and we can compare. We can compare your predictions for episode 6 even after the episode has happened, because we can compare and contrast. That's kind of the whole shtick, the whole thing of what I'm even doing here. So we can still do that. Heck, even if you write in your predictions and I don't get to them until episode 7, I'm still happy to go back over those and kind of cover all those bits and pieces. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk, Care Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Josh writes in first, says, I know it's far out, but how do you think season three could end? Or will we have a better guess at the end of episode seven? So the end of season three. So I just did predictions of how you could start season three. Wouldn't it kind of make sense in a bookend sense of, again, whether the bits are end of episode seven, start of episode 1, where could you do that? Wouldn't it make sense end of season 3, you have Abby's third day link up to the end, and then the rest of the theater confrontation with the hey, she's pregnant, don't kill her, good, go to kill her, but Lev is there, and we'd also know who Lev actually is at this point in the story as well. What could be the actual cliffhanger of season 3? Because what do we get? We get, okay, Ellie's like nearly beaten to death, Dean is injured. Where did we go after that? They didn't just wake up on the farm, did they? Or am I misremembering that? See, now you're asking me to remember something that's way out that I haven't had stored in my brain for a little bit. Anyway, you could end season 3 on the sort of, thank God Abby didn't kill, you know, both Ellie and Dina, and the sort of devastation there. Because then you have the farm, and you have Santa Barbara, and you have the Rattlers and all that, and then the actual fight between Ellie and Abby, and then you have the return to the farm, and then that's where the game actually ends. Gosh, that feels like such a far. That feels like such a long way away. I think you are going to need 4 seasons, you know, because, again, they're going to want to put new bits in. They might cast completely new characters, like a Gale, for example. I assume you'd also cast some people for the Rattlers and also have them have stories. So that's probably season 4 in a nutshell. So Because I don't think personally you've got time in season three to do whatever bits of the theatre confrontation you're going to do. Then all of Abby's story, including bits with her dad, because I assume that you'd cast. I know you had a guy at the end of season one, who looked like Jerry, but the audience didn't know that was him, and he wasn't cast as Jerry. At least I don't think that was his. He was probably just called Doctor something or other, which is what I was trying to talk about for the where Abby goes into that room and sees her dad, and she's all devastated and stuff. So I know we've seen the Doctor on screen, but we didn't know he was Jerry. You're not supposed to know that's Abby's dad, etc., etc. So there's no reason for him to be named as Jerry. Whether you cast the same guy, bring him back, I don't know, but he's not been cast for this season. But yeah, it makes sense to cast him for season three, and then you can, because we actually get to know Jerry a bit more, don't we, in the whole thing with Marlena, and that all kind of kicks off. But yeah, because then you have like more Isaac stuff, then you've got the Seraphites, Wolves War, and all that sort of bit. You've got loads of stuff to cover there in season three. Plus, again, Yara and Lev's story. Plus, then we will see the Seattle crew again, because Nora will be alive again. Oh, there's all the bits with Owen and Mel and the pregnancy, if the pregnancy still happens. And then like her post Joel thoughts, and there's a lot to dig into there. So I think it would personally make sense to have the end of season three be the second half, or the follow through, like her coming down the stairs, she spots Tommy, blah blah blah, you go through all that, and beats up Ellie and Dina, and then leaves. I just can't remember the next immediate bit, because Lev convinces Abby to walk away, and then Abby sort of says to Ellie, like, look, don't let me see you again. I can't remember where we immediately cut to after that. Is it the farm? Straight after that? Because then don't forget, we also have the bit where you play as Abby briefly again, and you try to discover Santa Barbara over the radio, and then the Rattlers come in and, knock Lev out against the garage door. So yeah, there's plenty to cover there for season four. So plus you could do other bits and new bits and stuff. So yeah. Anyway, yes, that's where I think season three could end, with the resolution of the theatre conflict once you've gone through Abby 1, 2, and 3 days. Harry writes in and says, "Did you notice they skipped the Vita girl?" I didn't personally notice that on first or second watch. That could have been interesting to include. Unless you remix that for. Because you could. Okay, do you have to have Vita Girl? I love that she's called that, by the way, because she does actually have a name, doesn't she? But I don't know anybody that actually remembers her name. And she does pop up again in the second half of the game, because Abby talks to her about something, and Abby makes a funny comment about, like, stupid video games or whatever she says, which is funny because you're a video game character. Okay, have they trimmed, cut, or moved Vita Girl? That's the question. I suppose you could always move her to somewhere in. Day three. It won't serve the same purpose, because when she goes to question Vita Girl, she's still wondering where Abby is, but now that she has the, well, we can guess based on the end of, obviously, this fifth episode, or Nora telling her, and she gets the thing on the map. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, she could just be moved somewhere later. I suppose the other question is, if she's been moved or it isn't in Ellie's part of the story, will she be at the camp when Abby sees her later? Because maybe you could do it like, okay, does she have to die? I know that the way that services itself with the death of that character is like Ellie sort of, that was dumb sort of thing. Like I didn't need to do that. Although that being said, if she doesn't stab Vita Girl, I don't think the Vita Girl is just going to sit there and be like, "All right, Ellie, cool, you go through, and I won't. You know, I definitely won't raise an alarm or something." So she kind of had to kill her. It was just the way that it happened, I suppose, is a bit more of an accident. So, yeah. But yeah, if she hasn't been moved to a different part, because obviously she's not going to be in episode 6. If she's been moved to a different part, and maybe she's in episode 7, but if she's not, you could do that as an Easter egg thing for season 3 for Abby's story, but then just not have her die, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah, they did, again, skipped, cut, or moved. Which one is it? But then if she appears later, but doesn't appear in this bit, has she been skipped, cut, or moved? That would be more of a move, right? You remove her from that scene. So there you go. Kyle writes in last and says, do you think there's anything they can't change no matter what? So things that they have to do. Okay. See, now I'm thinking of the theatre, because there's a bunch of stuff that happens at the theatre, which I've kind of already gone over a little bit. Okay, when she kills Mel at the aquarium, if Mel is not pregnant, I don't know how you can do the same symmetry thing with, like, then you cut to Abby later, you do the bit with Abby later, where she's like, good, when she's about to kill Dina, but then Liv stops her. But Dina's already pregnant. I'm gonna stick to my previous prediction, which is kind of, I don't think you can cut Mel being pregnant. I don't think that one's a you can't change no matter what. I just don't know how you do that without that there. Because I think the idea is supposed to be kind of, Ellie kills her by it, well, not by it, doesn't kill her by accident. She doesn't mean to kill her, but she doesn't know she's pregnant, so it's a sort of half accident, because then the baby's also dead. But there's supposed to be the symmetry there between the two of them, right? So I don't know if that's one that sort of can't change no matter what, because I don't know what the alternative option is that I haven't thought of. You kind of have to do the, at least Abby threatening Dina. You kind of have to do that. But then one of the reasons Abby is so sort of, I'm gonna do this, I don't care, good sort of thing, is because she's just witnessed her dead pregnant friend. And that affects that. So I sort of want to lean that more towards the you can't change it no matter what, but I'm wondering if they've remixed that in any way. And I still think there's an opportunity, because obviously they haven't set that up yet, because when we did the episodes 1, episode 2 bit, there's absolutely no mention at all of Mel being pregnant. So I wonder if they're saving that for a TV audience surprise of, okay, the gamers knew when they played that bit that Mel was pregnant. Ellie didn't, because she wasn't there when we had the conversation, but she was there when Owen mentioned it to Abby. But the TV audience currently has no idea that Mel is pregnant. So that could be like a bigger shock in a way. But then it does also just feed so good into, obviously in a dark way, it feeds so well into Abby's response towards Dina. So it kind of, yeah, screw it. I'm gonna lean more towards you can't change that no matter what, because I don't know how you do that with the same effect. Because Abby would have less reason to be sort of good. She doesn't say it, but it's more of a kind of, you just did this to my friend, I'm gonna do it to yours, because she's full of rage, which gets set up from her expression in the aquarium. So yeah, maybe they're playing it as a shock for the audience, but if they don't have Mel pregnant, we'll see which way they swing that around and how exactly that works. We should or could find out for episode 7, depending on where exactly we end that. The other bits you can't change, now that you've set Tommy up, he pretty much has to snipe Manny. I don't know why you would change that. And again, with the main character deaths, you've done all those pretty much the same way. So, yeah, him being sniped. It might not happen in the same way of... because they were trying to budge the door open, right? And they can't quite do it. And Manny stupidly sticks his head out and like, hey, maybe we can... and then it just sort of happens. So maybe you do the sniping differently. Maybe it happens in a different spot or something. But he's still kind of got to get sniped by Tommy. So... yeah, and again, I don't. You have the opportunity to feed more into Tommy's POV in those bits, and we'll see how exactly they play that out. But that's for like what, middle of season 3. So is that one? You probably still need to have the whole Lev cuts his hair thing. That whole part as well. Which would probably mean that you still have to have Lev and Yara's mum be dead later on. What else do you need to do still? As much as people might not like it, I still think you kind of need to have the boat sex between Abby and Owen, because that leads from a conversation of, like, Owen's conflicted morality and how he doesn't really want to do this anymore. So you kind of still have to have that. You also kind of do still need a little bit of a reason to have Owen kind of come here and hide on his own. Now, you don't have Danny in the show, but some people were pointing out that the soldier who flips his attitude, let's call it, in episode 4, maybe it's him instead. Because from what I remember, Danny was kind of like a buttoned-up soldier of sort of proper full protocol, and that's what that guy looked like. So I wonder if he's going to be... the new Danny. What else do you need to do? Obviously space. If we're thinking more immediate future, you've got the Use War scene, which we know we're going to get. Is there any other bits from the actual birthday sequence that you need to do? Wonder if you could cut out the sort of like they push each other in the water, because this show hasn't really wanted to do water based stuff so far. This just made me wonder, in the bit where, and you don't actually have to do it in the game, do you, where you climb up on the dinosaur, which we've literally seen that shot in the trailer, which is interesting, by the way, because when you control Ellie in that part and you climb up the dinosaur, Joel's proper like, hey, Ellie, what are you doing? Get down. But in the show, he's, unless there's a funky bit of editing going on, he's looking up to the, not to the sky, but he's, Pedro's Joel is looking up and is smiling. So I wonder where the difference in attitude there is. Maybe it's kind of, she's climbing, he's smiling of like, hey, that's nice, but, and then suddenly it changes to, be careful, don't jump off. Maybe they change it that way. So you're going to have that. But if she jumps off the dinosaur and you're not going to do water, where is she going to land? Where is she going to land? Unless you do have it, because that's not like a full-on kind of water set piece like they've tried to avoid. That's more of a sort of deep puddle almost, isn't it? Unless you do a crafty thing where she jumps, you see her jump off, you cut to Joel's reaction, you have like a splash off screen, she gets out of the water, because she's not swimming, is she? It's not a swimming set piece. It's a kind of, she splashes, Joel's like, oh, Ellie, what have you done? And then she gets up, and then they meet each other. So unless you then just cut back, and Ellie's just soaked. But you could easily just, like, throw a bucket of water over Belly Ramsey or something. I don't know quite how you do that bit. Because obviously, if that's solid ground, and she jumps off that, she's in big trouble. So, which is the whole thing that Joel's worried about. Unless she slides down the dinosaur. Maybe I'm overthinking this part a little bit too much, but that's the whole point of what we're here for. I don't know, I don't really see an issue of like, I mean, you're not gonna cut from Oh, enter the dinosaur bit. Oh, we cut through all that, and then suddenly they're on the other side. You're not going to really do that, are you? You have to have some content, you know. But again, what I mentioned earlier, narrative, dialogue, purposes, they chat a lot throughout all those bits, so there's no reason you can't have all of that. So yeah, I don't know, because my mind has been so focused more on this season, I'm not thinking of things in season three in the more distant future as to bits that you can't change no matter what. But the next sort of, if they'll definitely do it because they haven't mentioned it yet, is Mills' pregnancy. Because episode six, I think, is going to be fairly straightforward.
Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right-hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward. I don't know why you would really cut, trim, or move too many of those bits. You've also got obviously the other bit with him playing guitar to her in the garage, garage. Because that has probably happened, but we just haven't seen it yet. Yeah, then there's the finding strings bit as well, with see what happened, the hell happened to Eugene. I do think it's probably down to, he was a Firefly. He found out not necessarily the full hospital thing, but something to do, something along the lines of the immunity hospital secret, and Joel had to kill him. Yeah, Eugene. I guess I should have made more predictions for Eugene, but now that we're on the subject of it, Eugene. So what's gonna happen with Eugene? So he was a Firefly. He was married to Gale. We know those things. We know that Joel was seemingly pointing a gun behind his head at one point. Because the thing is with the finding string stuff is we've had the sniping bit already with Tommy. But maybe they remixed it so that they, by the time we get there, they're already at the wherever it is that they actually go. It's in like a hotel, or where was it they actually go to? Some building, isn't it? With like a gym and stuff in there. It is what they could have done, because you don't you fight another bloater in there? Because there's a set piece where you fight the bloater, right? And they sort of abandoned the finding strings. Unless there's a different reason, because the whole thing of like, hey, your guitar strings are a bit frayed, I'm gonna sort them out. That happened in episode one, didn't it? Because Joel comes in and does something, and then he notices the guitar in the corner and is like, hey, I'm gonna fix your strings. So they already did that that little piece of it there. So I wonder why they're even actually out to get. Maybe it's a patrol. Maybe it's a patrol that they're on. Of like the in between the 5 years Jackson stuff. And so something happens in terms of Eugene finds something out because, you know, the Firefly stuff and all that. And then Joel has to kill him for that reason. I can't think of really any other reason he'd have to kill Eugene. Because maybe Eugene is threatening, like, I'm gonna go back, Jackson, tell them what the hell you did, Joel, at the hospital. I'm gonna tell everybody else, and obviously Joel can't allow that to happen. Because we don't even know what Ellie's reaction to that would be. So there's a completely kind of almost new piece to that. Because that could obviously link quite easily into the use war scene as well. So we'll see what happens on the on that front. But yeah, maybe instead of them being out to find strings, maybe it's just them on patrol. Because I wonder how they'll also handle after you speak to Tommy and he goes, "Hey, you two, go ahead. I'm gonna sit here with my guitar," and then you go on the Finding Strings mission. There's a lot of awkward continued conversations between Joel and Ellie, and he's proper trying to like, "Hey, your patrols, the comic books, this happens. I started reading it. I'm trying to dig some interest out of you." And Ellie's a bit sort of half-assed in the conversation, a bit dismissive because of what's happened. So I wonder if they'll fit those bits into that, and then they come across Eugene or something like that. Anyway, so yeah. Anyway, done a big enough chunk of an episode here. We'll see what happens, of course, in episode 6. How exactly they lay everything out to see the beautiful museum scene, the start, the space part, and everything else, and also to see all those sets come to life as well. I've loved seeing that as well as I have done throughout. And obviously, we also get a good bit of a Pedro Pascal back again as well, so we'll see how that goes. But we're not done with this episode 5 yet. We still have the actual scenes to talk about because I've not specifically done those yet. That is what the spoiler review on Wednesday will be, as it always is for. Of course, we'll be bringing in David, getting his TV only view on things, see what he thinks of what happened with Nora. I haven't thought this week of anything to specifically pick his brain with. What should we think of to? Because I like to have fun doing that, right? I might as well have fun with it. I haven't really got anything to pick his brain with necessarily. I've more kind of got like, hey, what did you think of fully seeing what the scars do? And maybe I'll think of some stuff between now and Wednesday to pick his brain with. But I didn't come up with as much of those things as I did this time. Unlike kind of, hey, this weird group of people being introduced, David, what do you think of them? Do you think we'll see them again? Why do you think Dina threw up? But posing those questions to him, I've not really got the same ones. Maybe I'll think of stuff between now and then. What could I poke him with? What could I poke him with? If any of you think of obviously any questions you want to poke him with, you can write them in. So if there's anything I can't think of, questions to poke him with, or just questions to ask him, or ask me, or whatever else, that's of course what the feedback is for. So please consider all of those things. I can't think of nothing right now. Maybe I'll think of something between now and Wednesday, which I've got about a day and a half to do. So, anyway, if you would like to poke David with questions, or me, or the pair of us, or whatever else, any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments you've got, any predictions of your own, please write in your predictions as well. Even if you, well, I was going to say if you're a TV-only person, but you're not supposed to be here if you're a TV-only person, although I think some of you are. So, if you've got any TV-only questions as well, any of those questions, whatever, any of that kind of stuff, Matthew at Entertainment Talk the Dog. Twitter, social media, whatever, eTalkUK and Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Monday night podcasts. A reminder for, I need to tell David this as well, Man United somehow made it to a cup final. Don't ask me how, I don't know. But we're playing next Wednesday. I did not think the cup final... You would not think of a cup final being on a Wednesday, would you? It's usually on a weekend. Whether it's Carabao Cup, FA Cup, Champions League, whatever. They're usually all on weekends. But that game is going to kick off the exact minute that we're supposed to record. So we're going to have to move the podcast till Thursday. Europa League itself isn't even on a Wednesday. It's on a Thursday. So that just doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, we've played Tottenham Hotspur next. So it won't be for this week's podcast. Next Wednesday, we play Tottenham Hotspur. Two teams that, by the way, are 16th and 17th in the Premier League have made it to a cup final. Oh, what's going on? That will be next Wednesday. Obviously, there will be a United Castle episode anyway, because I'm not going to not do a podcast for the cup final. So look out for that. Hopefully some more film reviews. I know I've still got Sinners and Thunderbolt sitting there waiting for me, so I'll check those out at some point as well. What else is there this week? Gaming Talk tomorrow. That's for Tuesday the 13th. Look out for that. Spoiler review for The Last of Us for this episode on Wednesday, so please come back for that. Everybody is more welcome for that episode, so check that out. Thursday, what am I doing on Thursday? I felt like I was doing something on Thursday. No, because Man United aren't playing midweek this week, so no United cast there. Although we're playing on Friday, but it's the Chelsea game, so yeah, that'll be next week. Might do a little something for the FA Cup final on Saturday between Crystal Palace and Manchester City. Strongly rooting for Crystal Palace in that one. That'd be brilliant if they win that. So I might do a little something for that. I'm up for doing that. So we'll see how everything works out. Anyway, yeah, what about social media? Listen to more stuff. We did obviously a bunch of podcasts recently as well. So check out all of those. TV, games, films, make our podcast. Listen to more of those. Word of mouth, social media. And if someone mentions someone we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. The Geek Time Radio episode should be out around about the same time as Gaming Talk tomorrow. So look out for Gaming Talk tomorrow. And, of course, Geek Time Radio tomorrow as well. Those are both for Tuesdays. And geektown.co.uk through the week for your TV and your film news. So look out for that. And then there's YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays for all my video game bits and pieces. So look out for that. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. Hopefully see you Wednesday for the spoiler review, for the actual scenes themselves. And then we, just as Joel said on that porch scene, do it all over again. We do it all over again next week, but in a slightly different order for the birthday episode next week. It's going to be a tearjerker, I'm sure. And then, yeah, that's the penultimate episode already. And then the season finale is the week after that. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. And I'll see you tomorrow for Gaming Talk or Geek Town. I mean, I won't see you on Geek Town. I'm not on that one. Yeah, see you for Tuesday for Geek Town, Tuesday for Gaming Talk, or for the spoiler review Wednesday for The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 5. Feel her love. Did we feel her love? I don't know what I don't know. Anyway, thanks for listening and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.